Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fourth episode of the second season of Overlooked and Undercooked, a critical analysis of Rob Schneider's, we assumed failed, but apparently like a phoenix rising from the ashes, actually hopeful Netflix series. My name is Tim Batt, his name is Guy Montgomery, and I'd like to introduce our guest, TV writer, actor, comedian, all-around Australian legend, it is Nina Oyama.
Oh, hello.
What's up?
Thank you for calling me all those things that I am, but it sounds impressive.
Well, when you stack them all together like that,
Rob Schneider actually also fulfills all of those roles.
Oh, that's true. Okay, well, now I regret everything.
Yeah, you should.
Before we launch,
we should have gone to university, guys. We should have done science.
I'd like to ask what your relationship to Rob Schneider is, Nina.
I've seen him in a few Adam Sandler films, and that's about it. And he always plays like an ethnic character that's always a bit offensive, right?
What's your association with that memory? Is it positive or negative or neutral?
I don't know. He's funny. I reckon he's funny, but I reckon he's funny in like a bad taste way. That's that's bad, but it's hilarious.
And now you've spent half an hour experiencing his version of what he thinks is funny. Do you think he is funny?
No.
Let me stop you there, guy.
Hard no.
So for those listening along who are building a picture of the season as told through the episodes you're listening to, could you outline perhaps just the broad, what you describe as the broad strokes of the plot featured in this fourth episode of Real Rob called Zen What Happens?
Oh, I didn't know I was going to have to pay attention. I was drinking alcohol. No.
Fucking legend.
Yeah. Okay.
Aforementioned legend.
So Rob Schneider plays a fictionalized version of Rob Schneider, and he has a servant called Jimmy, Danny. he's got a little slave boy called Jamie. And Jamie, there's a lot of plot points. Jamie drives him to Las Vegas and he meets a guy who wrote a book about being Zen. And then he comes back and his wife has a party in the house where MMA fighting is happening.
That's your description of a lot of plot points. You just summarized the entire 35-minute episode in two sentences.
Oh, was I only supposed to do specific? Oh, and
you killed it, mate.
Okay.
You absolutely nailed it. What Guy is highlighting is what a poor job the show did. You did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
But you say there's a lot of plot points, I think was maybe, you know, it was putting the show on a pedestal it did not deserve to occupy.
There was a lot of plot points that went unresolved. Like there was one where he had to take magnesium powder and then he didn't.
That was resolved. He didn't have the magnesium and he had a rough shit.
Yeah, but it's like, what did that hinder? Like it didn't, there was no, it didn't contribute
Nina,
anything to the overall
sweet
plot.
Sweet naive Nina. The idea that everything has to contribute to something bigger than the moment itself is woefully misguided when it comes to Real Rob.
Okay,
that gag is meant to be hilarious enough to stand on its own two feet. And it seems to me that you're casting a critical eye over this show and suggesting maybe it did not.
Not at all. I'm very critical of it, yeah.
How many genuine laughs do you think this show elicited?
It solicited a lot of ironic ones. I guess that's the opposite of genuine, isn't it?
By
its very definition, yes.
I'm no dictionary, but yeah.
I'd say none.
Oh, that's disappointing
to
hear.
Oh, wait, no, there was one, but I can't remember it. But I remember thinking it was a funny moment. It was, no, it was when the wife, so the wife goes on a casting audition and she has to like shake this guy because he's like her cheating husband, and then she beats the shit out of him. But she's in an audition, so she's auditioning for a role and she beat, and that was
you
funny.
You loved that, eh?
Oh, I love that. I thought it was so funny.
You love seeing that guy get fucking laid out.
It was hilarious.
And then they said as well, don't worry, we've only got 8 more auditions before lunch.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh no, I'm going to get beaten up 8 more times.
Yeah.
And then it was like, let me watch that for 32 minutes.
I absolutely love it. Well, also because like I've been to casting calls and they don't let you like, it's just like a desk and like a camera. Like it's never, even if you like do have to beat the shit out of someone, like you just have to do it on your own by yourself.
This is the interesting thing about this show that is set and made in Hollywood is its representation of the inner workings of Hollywood is consistent. Consistently
incorrect,
inaccurate
at best.
Yeah. Well, no. It's. Did you have any laughing points to him?
I just want to say on that point, like if you're going to fuck something up, be funny. Like if you're not going to be funny, then be correct. But this is neither. You know, it's weird. They've taken liberties, but not in a direction that adds to the humor. It's just like it's wrong for no reason.
In the same way, it's an approximation of a sitcom. It's an approximation of a show set in Hollywood. Like. They're shooting right through the middle of all of the things this show is meant to be.
Yeah.
They're like, it's like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible with the lasers. And if you touch the lasers, that is you achieving what you're setting out to achieve.
They've dodged every single one of them.
Yeah.
They've dodged every objective
incidentally,
hit.
Yes.
But have you ever thought like maybe it's deliberate, like maybe it's some kind of postmodern art?
So, did you bring this up? In the last episode, that it was the whole thing as a goof.
Yeah, maybe.
I know.
It's not
I mean,
meant
I
to
like
be.
The idea, only in that. I mean, I don't.
Maybe we're all being punked, you know?
Even it's then, possible. I find that to be such a mean spirited, roundabout way to do that. I respect that they've achieved it in some regard.
I respect the length of it.
Yeah.
To finance, create, and release 2 seasons of a show just to go. Gotcha.
Yeah, or they're playing the long game.
Or even Rob Schneider's entire career as a postmodern art performance.
Well, he's got us all, and I respect him now. I've actually changed my mind. I would like to watch it again in a new light.
When was the last time you even thought of Rob Schneider?
Oh, long ago.
See, this
decades.
Is long, long ago. Do you reckon Andy Kaufman never died and he is, in fact, Rob Schneider?
I think so.
No.
I hope so.
There was humour in what that guy was doing.
He's Bob Zamuda in different makeup. Everybody's a new Rob Schneider every day.
Shit.
Think about it.
I won't.
Well, it kind of makes sense
that
because
terrifies me.
In the autobiographical world of the show, who he is episode to episode, he's consistently a bad guy. But there's no he's a goldfish. There's no memory of who he is or what he's done the previous episode to prop up or, you know, like.
But isn't that by definition what a sitcom character is? They never learn.
Well.
So he's actually achieving it. I've actually gone from the other side. I'm actually Team Rob Schneider. This is a great show. I highly recommend 10 out of 10.
Lay out your thesis for how this is a good show achieving its objectives, please.
I haven't decided yet, but I've decided to do a hard take. I'm all about hard takes.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah, but if you can do a hard take, could you please explain the parts of the show that you thought fulfilled their purpose?
Consistently bad. That's the consistent. That's number one.
There is something to that, though, eh? Because then you've got an expectation set. The bar, you're like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. So it's actually very easy to then exceed it, and you go and you kind of give credit to the show
Become
in a brief
surprised.
Moment.
Yeah. And second, it's real, like it's made by the real Rob Schneider and his real Rob Schneider wife and his real Rob Schneider assistant.
You got that right.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like true to the. I
what,
assume
it's, what, it's real. How in the fact that it
they
exists.
Exist.
What if this is all has all happened at some point?
That is from what we understand what the writing process is. But just because something happens, it doesn't mean you need to relay it or represent it to other people.
You got to let millions of people on Netflix know about it. I've got a shit story to tell you. Someone give me $1.5 million to please recreate
it. He's earned his money. He gets to invest it how he sees fit. We do not need to watch it, yet we do. In the show, he's driving to Las Vegas to perform stand-up comedy, which...
You know what? I reckon you're in cahoots with Rob Schneider. I reckon this is all cooked up so you can make this podcast, because without this podcast, without his show, this wouldn't exist.
And the world would be a better place twice over for it.
I feel like those ocean animals that like have a symbiotic relationship with whale sharks or whatever, they're just feeding off the back of some horrible sea beast.
Like the some dead bottom skin dweller. Cells of
a whale.
Exactly. Describing exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you describing a whale shark as a bottom? Is it like a bottom feeder?
I was mixing a few things up, but you get the picture. You know?
Well, no, the reason I seek clarification is because I didn't get the picture.
A whale shark is not a bottom feeder. What so I'm trying
Rob Schneider's the whale shark, and we're the little fish who eat krill off its back.
Forget the whale shark. Throw that out the window.
I just imagine, imagining like a giant Rob Schneider, like a blimp-sized Rob Schneider, and you guys just like licking him.
Yeah, that's it.
Like riding his little back and just...
Yeah. For nutrients.
Yeah.
Imagine like a big... sort of jellyfish like a sea slug on the ground, and we're eating the dead skin cells off that sea slug. That's us.
That sounds hot.
Rob Schneider might be a dirty little grub, but we're the dirty little grubs feasting on his offshoots, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Who's really disgusting?
Well, he's the reason that he's trying to get to Las Vegas in this episode is because he's got a...
It's got a comedy show.
It's got a comedy show on. And this is one of the things I've been missing this season is Rob Schneider performing stand-up comedy on a soundstage with laughs overdubbed. And if you're going to insert a stand-up comedy show into the plot of an episode, then you damn well better show us some stand-up comedy. And... fuck, mercy me, he did.
Wow, did
he? Was a crusher. The guy was killing up there.
He killed it, man. He did impressions of his mum.
No, I don't think it fulfilled the criteria of counting as performing stand-up inside a TV show.
Why?
Because you need a set. And he just did a catchphrase over and
this
over
is,
again.
No, but this is what is so great about it, is that he has written a show in which he plays himself, who is a stand-up comedian. So you're like, well, you've really... Like, if you're a stand-up comedian with their own show... Mm. The stand-up parts should, if nothing else works, be the strongest part. It's like you've got this huge bank of material and experience to draw on. You're like, even if the rest of it's flailing,
yeah,
I'll just insert one of my killer bits. And I respect the accuracy with which he represented himself in bombing in the show.
It's called Real Rob, not for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not unrealistic, Rob.
Real bombs.
You know, I've got another qualm with the plot, which is they have to drive to Las Vegas... like in that night to get to the show that night, but then like 2 days pass before he has to do the show.
It's messed up.
And there's like, it's a whole thing about like how they're running late for the show, so they have to stay awake. So like they're all slapping each other to stay awake, but and they don't actually need to get there.
Even before that, Rob, fuck me. One of the driving plot points of this episode is that Jamie has taken the trouble to like pay the extra money to get Rob the premium ticket at the airport so he can board first class sort of thing.
Oh, I missed that.
That's where he sees Danny Trejo. And Danny Trejo...
Another outstanding cameo.
Great to see him. Look, always a pleasure to see him. And Danny Trejo is actually reading the book, which introduces that whole future plot
that
point.
Whole
that comes
fascinating
up.
Subplot.
But, but here's the fucking thing. Like, Rob Schneider is so put out by the flight being delayed by an hour. And then, as you rightly point out, Nina, they drive there and they just fuck around for 2 days.
Exactly.
Just... goes home because the flight's delayed by an hour, so instead they drive.
Surely that would take more time than like go and staying around for an hour, like go back home.
It's probably less than an hour flight.
Well,
Angeles to Las Vegas is probably like fucking 45 minutes in the air.
This is what can happen when
you probably don't even get a snack. That's probably how short it is. They don't even have time to give you a little bit of tea.
Rob Schneider, you dumb fuck.
Fucking. Doesn't know math.
You fucking idiot.
Don't tell me we're discovering now that Rob Schneider's character is thick.
They've written an episode. All I'm saying, like, fuck, if you're going to tell a story, it's got to make some basic sense.
No, this is what happens in this insular production without a single critical eye to glance over the scripts or on set to sort of say, hey, in terms of continuity, this doesn't quite add up. Everyone's probably, like, there's probably someone who started off bringing these problems to Rob Schneider on set, but he's so frantic from fulfilling all of his professional responsibilities as writer, director, star, producer.
Oh, is he the director too?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
believe it.
Oh, man, that explains so much.
What does that clarify for you?
Everything. The directing is so bad. They cross the line so many times. They have weird cutaways.
He's got a lot on. He's acting as well.
Mate, I've done it and I got nominated for Australian Directors Guild Award.
Check it out, motherfuckers.
Suck my fucking asshole, Rob Schneider.
Blam, take
yeah,
it.
Rob, big fan of the podcast, Rob Schneider.
He listens. He's a listener.
Oh,
he
hey,
will
Rob.
Suck your asshole. Yeah,
please.
He's a man of his
someone's
word.
Got to do it. It's a dirty job. He can be my bottom feeder. He's sucking my asshole. You're sucking his asshole.
Get a true blue Aussie to do it. Don't get foreigners in here to take good, honest Aussie jobs.
Yeah.
Be a patriot, Nina. Who was your favourite character? Did you gravitate towards anyone who you saw on screen in this diabolical half hour of television?
I liked the wife.
Yeah?
Because I thought she was terrible. But I just liked all her scenes. Like, I like how she was... At the first scene, she, like, explained... She's like, don't touch that ball. There's, like, a football. And she's like, don't put that on the table because the dog's licked it. And the implication is, like, the audience can put together the dog. You know, the dog licks its ass or whatever. That's why it's dirty. It's bad. But then she spends, like, 2 minutes explaining that the dog licks its own balls and licks its own butt. And she has an impersonation of the dog licking its own balls. And I was like, yeah, way to hammer that home, girl.
There's two ways to deconstruct a joke. One where it kind of adds to the comedy and one where it entirely destroys the comedy that was there. I mean, I'm tending towards the latter in
I
this
think
particular
she
context.
She was following direction. Rob was like, it's funny, but I don't quite understand why. If you could explain for me. And then she did.
I mean, it's not like it's a trope that dogs lick their own buttholes or anything.
We've never seen it.
Dogs
never
are very
it.
They're very clean. They play cards. So.
Notoriously. Yeah, that's why they're painting.
There's nothing cleaner than someone who plays cards.
Oh, that's true. Never thought
card
of
sharks, famously the most hygienic.
He got you there.
Yeah, no. I've misthought this. Is that a word? Probably not.
I'm switched on, if nothing else.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I was pretty gutted that we didn't get to see Miranda, the daughter, in this episode. If for other reason than I would have loved for you to have seen her performance, Nina, because she fucking sucks. And it's very mean to like tell a 4-year-old child that they suck at acting, but she shouldn't be on screen. She's bad at it.
Well, it's a family affair, though. And
Do we know for sure that it's their real-life kid?
She's in the credits. She's got the double barrel surname of her parents.
And is it Miranda, or did they make up a new name?
No, that's her name.
Man, I don't agree with it. Guy and I have been having some chats about this. What do you reckon about, like, fucking famous people who put their kids on Instagram and stuff to, like, sell products? I think that's devil's work.
Yeah.
Hey?
I think the child's too young to know.
It's going to be a whole generation, a wave of retribution for like parents who have, you know, completely sacrificed the autonomy of their children to make decisions on behalf of themselves.
To make a quick buck. Like, if communism has a chance, I reckon it's from Instagram kids. So their parents were like, oh, yeah.
Zuckerberg,
you know,
playing the long game?
Fucking oath. I reckon he's a fan of Stalin.
He's a commie.
He wanted to see it come to fruition. And the best way to do that is by creating an attention economy. Everyone wants to see little kids. We're hardwired for it. Sell you fucking vitamins by chucking your kid in an Instagram spawn post. And all of a sudden these kids get to age 16, they're like, you fucking basically took away, you know, my autonomy as an agent of my own destiny by putting me in ads at four for clicks. Fuck you guys, I'm going to break apart the system.
Yeah.
There'll be splinters within the kids who do that, though. Some of them will gravitate towards the fame and the fact that their life is laid out in front of them at 16. They don't have to make a single decision.
That's the 1%. Kill them. They will be in the minority. Eat the rich.
I agree. Kill the kids now.
Kill all of them.
So they can't grow
up. To be
up.
Safe.
Yeah, just to nip them in the bud.
Well, you
smash
know.
Smash the eggs.
How would you do it? Smash the eggs. Smash the eggs. What's your understanding of how human children come into the world, Nina?
So parents lay some eggs and then don't smash them and they make children.
Nailed it.
We've all got the same cursory understanding of childbirth and rearing.
Absolutely.
Tim, was there anything you enjoyed in the episode? I mean, I know it's unlikely, but...
Man, I can't help myself. I'm drawn to Jamie. I just think when you put any kind of character, it doesn't matter how dumb they are through the amount of trauma that he's suffered, you can't help but build a relationship from as an audience member to just be like, I want to get you out of here, dude.
But he's so pathetic.
I know.
It's like hard to have respect for someone that's that pathetic. You're kind of like, well, at that point, you deserve to be shit on.
That's what Guy has been telling me, and I don't buy it. I've got a more paternalistic perspective on this where I'm like,
waited enough to say we need to wipe out any child who's been on Instagram before. So I'm quite a paternalistic figure.
Yeah, but if Jimmy was a 4-year-old, that would be different. Sorry, Jamie. Yeah, whatever.
Honestly, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I can't help myself but, you know, want to protect
the Radiohead look. You do it to yourself. You do, and that's why it really hurts.
You and no one else.
Jamie is, I mean, you know, the other argument which we unearthed last time is that he is an immortal figure who is doing this for the greater good of obstructing Rob Schneider's ability to inflict his particular brand of pain and idiocy upon the world at large. Yeah. But the issue is that none of the characters in the show are sympathetic.
But no,
like even Danny Trejo, who's he's really zen and relaxed, and we respect the fact that he's not put out by a flight being delayed for an hour.
Until
and then it turns out that he's a dirty dog as well.
He's been cheating the air. Did you even watch?
Yeah,
did you, yeah,
yeah. I paid attention to that. So he was supposed to get on the flight first, but that was such a weird moment where they were all lining up to get on this delayed flight or whatever, and then this like whole line of disabled kids took the first spot, and he was real mad at all the disabled kids. And I was like, "What is this?
But is it
weird?
Rob,
like people in wheelchairs are bad for going to the airport first. Like what?
One thing you got to respect about Rob Schneider is he does not seem to care the way in which the show portrays. Like he does lean into the worst of himself.
Yeah, he does.
All in the service of comedy, which is not fulfilled. But you know, he's putting himself through his paces.
That is one thing. But to drag all of these fantastic cameos in to the mire with him, it sucks, because Danny Trejo, he writes in that he has crutches, so he produces crutches out of nowhere and acts disabled.
No, it's not crutches, it's an arm sling.
Oh, whatever. It's some fucking, you know, some
fake thing.
I don't
want any of those train spotters listening along to start yelling at their headphones going, "No, Tim."
Fair enough.
Well, why didn't Rob Schneider just pretend he was disabled?
He is. He wouldn't even need to pretend. Absolutely. Fuck. But he got very mad that there were people going on the flight before him because he had paid $100, $130
which
more.
Which I can imagine that's probably not that much in the Rob Schneider world.
It didn't even occur to me it's not even because the flight's delayed that he drives. He drives because he becomes so irate at the fact that
that disabled people get to go on before
that his
him.
Priority boarding is revoked, that he gets a ride instead. And the one time I did enjoy it was when he was like... He was passengering, purportedly going over his jokes, which he doesn't need to do because it's just one line repeated over and over. And Jamie's driving.
And it's in 2 days' time. Yeah, he's got 48 hours to prepare.
And Jamie keeps nodding off and he goes, "Well, I'll drive." And then when he's driving, he's being a real obstructive asshole to Jamie getting any sleep. And I guess if you are consistently an asshole every moment of every episode, occasionally it's going to, you know, there's going to be a moment where you might be able to enjoy it. I don't know if that's because I would enjoy that independent of watching the show repeatedly or like consecutively, or if it is actually just a little bit funny to me to be an asshole to your friends occasionally.
Yeah, definitely. That's fine. Just because the show sucks doesn't mean it's devoid of any moment where you can enjoy it.
It does scramble your brains a bit though, doesn't it? Yeah.
Can I point out a plot point in that exact scenario where they're driving and they have to swap like driving roles because Jamie needs to sleep, and then Rob has like a boombox in the front car. But it's like you're driving a car, so presumably they'd have access to an aux cord or a radio.
Addressed in the dialogue, he says to Jamie, "If your sound system didn't suck so much, I wouldn't have to do this."
Because they're in a. This is the weird thing though.
They're in a smart car.
They're in a smart car. One of those old school ones that looks like someone got a car and cut it in half.
That's one of
those kind of smart cars, but
he's nothing if not environmentally conscious. He chooses his battles. He hates disabled people, but he loves climate.
But this is the thing. It's Jamie's car.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that was Rob Schneider's car because of exactly what you're talking about. Because in the show, they pepper it with his real life opinions about how, like,
Vaccinations cause autism.
Yeah, but he's pseudo-environmentalist.
He's an anti-vaxxer?
Yes. Truly he is.
What the hell?
Yeah, dude.
That is so wild.
Isn't it?
Is that a plot point?
Well, I hope so.
He maps it out with the idea of exterminating spiders in his house because his neighbors have exterminated the spiders in their house, so they live in a spider-free zone without having to live with the chemicals.
What? So he's banking on other people's herd immunity without having to bring chemicals
into his
own
house.
To be fair,
in that episode, they then do introduce quite a lot of spiders to sort of disqualify the argument he's laid out. But
that's
that
true.
Might be purely to serve comedy, not a representation of what he thinks.
I think we may be reading more into it than they wrote into
it. No, I don't think so. But the idea that Jamie drives a smart car is meant to be funny because, again, this is introduced
Jamie's a pussy.
Early episode,
the environment.
What do you think about Jamie? What's your take on Jamie?
I don't know. I kept thinking that he looked a bit like Bob Odenkirk, and then it just confused me.
Yeah.
Because he looks like Bob Odenkirk went through the washing machine or something. You know, it's like that kind of vibe.
That's
it's
accurate.
Like, all his eyes are like slightly closer together or something. Yeah. I don't know. All white people look the same to me.
Yeah. You can only distinguish white guys by their facial hair,
by
their
mustache. That's why I have trouble with you two, because a guy doesn't have a mustache anymore.
Yeah, you fucker. You should have kept
really
it.
You've grown a mustache almost.
Have I?
That's true.
It's the thickest part of your facial hair right now.
You are also wearing the exact same outfit. You're both wearing like chambray button-ups and like a kind of cap thing.
That's an indictment. I didn't even realize that.
It's quite coordinated.
It's because I'm wearing a fuckboy thing. What is this called? A singlet. This cracked me up. So I bought this from Cotton On because it's got a picture of the Capitol building, which is like obviously in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
But they've put San Francisco in huge letters in front of it. And I was like, I can't not buy that. That's fucking hilarious.
Dude, Cotton On is the best. I know this hasn't got anything to do with the show, but I used to work at a Cotton On and they used to have this shirt and it had like, it said Viva La Moto. And then it had a big kind of motorbike like tearing out of the middle of the shirt, like as if it ripped through the center of the shirt. And then not only was there a motorbike, there was like some roses and then just like a wolf's head. And I was like, this
I want
is the
that.
Best shirt. Yeah, like they
That's
I
hot
don't
shirt.
Know who makes those shirts, but it's the
You
best.
Would pay a designer so much, like now in the year of our Lord 2019, so much money to get that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's hot shit.
Because it's like anti-comedy in a shirt. You know?
Exactly.
You're like, is that meant to...
What are we doing?
Was that made by
here?
Mistake?
Is like, this perfect?
Yeah,
is this
why
perfect
is this
comedy?
$29.95?
This cost me $8, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's so good.
Worth it.
And that's in New Zealand dollars, so probably like 50 cents here.
Oh, yeah, true. Your dollar is dog shit. Okay. I don't know the dollar rate.
It's like 1-to-1.
Anyway, back to Rob.
You need to go to a gig in like 3 minutes, I think.
I do.
So,
thank you for having
well,
me.
Well, before we let you go, there's a very important question we need to ask.
Oh, no.
Which is, are we punching down?
Punching down.
By doing this podcast where we are... We didn't set out to make fun of him, but we're critically reviewing this show of Rob Schneider's.
Absolutely punching up. Because Rob Schneider is a very powerful man. He's got a lot of money. He's got enough money. Netflix is also giving him money.
We think he paid Netflix to air the show.
Oh, really?
If he has
that much money, that's like even more money than if they gave it to him.
Well,
so.
No, I mean, it's quantifiably less. If he's...
get the logic, guy.
Yeah, but as in, like, if he was poorer, he would have to have Netflix pay him.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he's so rich that he can pay to be on Netflix, I always do it by shmoney. That's my rule. Like, if you're punching up, it's like, if they have more money than you, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's like my main... I mean, it's probably, you know, comes in... There's other things that come into play, but money is definitely the first...
Money's
the go-to.
A good... Yeah.
Yeah, salary.
Well, I like that because it means we're not punching up, punching down.
Exactly.
Either. So I'm going to roll with that.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Take take down Rob Schneider.
Man, thanks, yeah. Nana. Oh, whoa. Thanks for giving us the green light on there.
Yeah, keep fighting the good fight.
We don't know when...
This is the good fight. We should rename the podcast.
We don't know when this will be released, but do you have any evergreen plugs you'd like to make? Where can people find you?
How can people get you on the fucking online, man?
Well, if I don't get cancelled, I'm on Twitter at Ninoyama. I almost got cancelled recently, so I got to... Because I said...
By who?
By the cyclist Twitter in Australia, at OzCycles.
The goddamn cycle lobby.
Yeah. They fucking tried to cancel me, but then
big penny farthing, those assholes.
No, just normal cyclists. But so,
but take the offer, Nina.
Yes, so, and the penny and the unicycling community, those cunts. Yeah, that's right. No, come for me, all of you. Come fight me at Ninoyama on Twitter and at Nina.Oyama on Instagram. And I also have a pilot on ABC iView if you're in Australia. Oh, it's on YouTube too if you're anywhere in the world.
There you go, YouTube.
Called The Angus Project, which is cool and I'm proud of it. And it's about a guy with cerebral palsy who has a useless carer and they take heaps of drugs.
Hey. I fucking saw someone tweeting about that today and I didn't realise it was your project.
Yeah, that's
that
my project.
Oh, man.
The cat's out of the bag.
That's right.
I'd like to close the episode by quoting the great Rob Schneider in one of his many witticisms that he coins during the show. He says, is this your iPhone? Biphone. He throws an iPhone out the window and then he says, it's your biphone now. It's good.
Thanks for listening.
He's clever.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.